Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. We are joined this week by a senator who is at the center of everything in Jeff City, Dr. Bob Bonner. Senator or doctor, or both?
Either one, Scott. Bob is fine.
I tell you what, let's break it up. Let's be Senator Bob Bonner for a moment. Then we'll get to Dr. Bob Bonner.
Sounds good to me.
The thing I think is on everyone's mind, maybe more than anything else.
Yes.
You know, normally it's guns, abortion, taxes, the normal legislative stuff. COVID has been a huge thing.
COVID-19.
One of my favorite interviews, you made some time to come visit with us in the middle of the shutdown pandemic early in the fall. And we talked about, I think we mostly talked to Dr. Bob Bonner that
day. Yeah, I think you did.
But now that a year has passed, you've got some legislation that would affect, if you're in a rural community, let's be honest, outside of maybe a few folks at some chain stores, your life didn't change all that much as far as masks and shutdowns after the first month or two. In St. Louis and other places, changed radically. If you could take a piece of legislation, not even one you could get passed, but as a doctor and as a public policymaker, what should the rules be for a government to shut down a community in an urban area?
Yeah, I think whether rural or urban, I believe there needs to be accountability to the people, accountability to voters and their elected officials. And that's the problem we've seen. Even in rural communities, we saw, for instance, churches being shut down, even to drive in, you know, parking lot services. But it's been especially egregious here in the St. Louis metro area, especially in St. Louis County, where right now 60 bars, about a third of the bars and restaurants, rather, in St. Louis County have closed permanently.
Yeah, I know one
and it's been arbitrary. This county government has shut down youth sports, even outdoor youth sports. They've shut down health clubs. They've shut down, you wouldn't want to exercise or get healthy during a pandemic, Scott. Again, restaurants, schools, churches. There needs to be accountability. And in fact, what my bill, it was Senate Bill 12 or Representative Jim Murphy's House Bill 75, what they would do is require that the elected officials, the governing body of the political subdivision, sign off on any health orders that shut things down. This is different than shutting down a restaurant because of salmonella or E. coli or a boil water order after a flood or what have you. Shutting down a class of businesses or making people stay at home, this is really unprecedented, and there really needs to be accountability.
What does that look like? So in St. Louis, they have a county council different than a lot of the states.
Yeah, and
you'd have to take it to the county council and get them to vote for it, too?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And in fact, Scott, that's already what the county ordinances and the county charter require.
So did that happen in St. Louis County a year ago?
A year ago and continuing to this day.
They did vote for it.
No, they did not. The county council has never voted for the shutdown orders that Sam Page and his health director, Emily Duche, issued about a year ago and continue to this day. In fact, Emily Duche she was recently replaced, in office 2.5 years. She was never confirmed by the county council, and she issued 850 pages of regulations. These are essentially laws. Representative Murphy brought these to my committee last week. Essentially 850 pages of laws governing everyone's lives, from their jobs, their small businesses, their schools, their churches, their health clubs, their ability to go out and socialize in public or go to a restaurant without any accountability whatsoever. She claims to derive her power directly from state government, from some Department of Health reg. No, she is violating, and Sam Page is violating, the St. Louis County Charter. Department hasn't rewritten them in response, and the Restaurant Association took the Page administration and Duche to court. Unfortunately, in the middle of a pandemic, courts don't want to get involved. So that's why we need to do something in Jeff City.
We talked about St. Louis. Let's talk about rural Missouri.
Yeah.
Rural Missouri, who even knew this?
Yeah.
I'm around government quite a bit.
Right.
I didn't know this. The commissioners don't decide on a shutdown. It's a health board.
That's right.
That ain't even on the ballot. I think that people were shocked that little health board, ours is on Main Street, and it's a pretty building, and they do good stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody in Power Bluff had a clue they could do anything to you.
That's right. These health authorities, ordinarily, they spend their time doing good things.
Sure.
They do vaccines. They treat various infectious diseases.
They don't even know they're there.
That's exactly right. You know, they say if you want to travel abroad, they'll give you your vaccinations for yellow fever or what have you. They do a lot of good things, conduct various education programs, flu shot drives in the fall. But all of a sudden, a handful of them, and again, it's just a few bad apples who have really decided they have unlimited power. Look, we value what they do, but we don't make them absolute dictators. They need to be accountable to the people.
Do you think, and the commissioner in a rural area, the commissioners, the
yeah.
three,
yeah.
Are probably the highest profile folks. They're going to take it better from them than they are health board.
They are. You know, there's an old saying, you know, again, the problem is the health authorities are micro-focused on
sure.
health and health alone. It's sometimes been said that war is too important to be left to the generals, right? If you need to fight a war, you know, you want to give the generals the power they need to do what they need to do to win the war. But that decision to go to war is always under civilian control in our democratic republic, and it needs to be that way when you're going to the damage done to our economy and to the social life and to the education of our children has been unprecedented. A quarter of children contemplated suicide during this pandemic.
Right, what do you say to that person in Webster Groves who they want the government to tell them what to do, and they don't want a St. Charles County person or anybody from the state of Missouri passing laws that keep them from being able to be told what to do by the county government? What do you say to that person? Is, hey, I want the government telling me how to live my life. I want 800 pages. I may want 8,000 pages of rules to live. There are folks that earnestly want a bigger government. What do you say to that person?
Well, that person is free to stay at home. That person's free to stay away from restaurants. But we really have liberties in our society. We have freedom of association. We have freedom to travel. We have freedom of assembly, freedom of religion. And before we violate those liberties, at very least, we have to have some accountability to the people through their elected officials.
If I had to guess where this is over, you're going to have some new constituents across the river in St. Charles County.
We have a moat in between, Scott.
While we're talking about this vaccine, let's move on to this vaccine discussion. You're a physician.
Yes.
What? Now, I'm a simple hillbilly.
Sure.
Tell me, I'm going to get my shot now that I can. I've signed up, and I'm looking forward to it. What's that going to do to me when they put that in me? Break it down for the most simple hillbilly, what that does to keep you from getting COVID.
Well, Scott, I think I really do like the COVID vaccine. I think President Trump's Operation Warp Speed was a godsend, and I think it's going to save tens of thousands,
Boy,
if not
pains folks to give him credit for
hundreds
it,
of thousands. Some folks, it doesn't pain me at all. There are essentially three vaccines right now. There's the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine. I myself received the Pfizer vaccine. And then there's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine,
which is no longer being given, right?
Right. The first two are made in a new way. They are a, quote, messenger RNA vaccine. So messenger RNA causes certain cells to synthesize the COVID protein, and then one's immune system reacts to that protein. Whereas the Johnson & Johnson is made in the more traditional way. They made the protein and then inject the protein, just like a tetanus shot or a flu shot. And the Johnson & Johnson vaccine right now is on hold because of some issues of blood clots.
Did you get the vaccine?
But I did get the vaccine. I got the Pfizer vaccine back in January.
And did you have Allison in your family? Did you recommend they get it?
They're going to get it. So far, my son Joseph, who has a heart condition, he's gotten it. No one else has. As you know, they just opened the vaccine up to anyone over 16. Eventually they'll all be vaccinated. I suspect my college-age kids will get it before they go to school.
As a doctor, I figure you did some reading on it for
you.
Not only took it, but recommended it to your family. What made you decide to get it?
Yeah, well, first of all, as a physician, and I do practice in addition to my work in the Senate, I have direct contact with vulnerable patients, so I viewed it as a moral duty for me, myself, to get it.
Do you think it's safe?
I think it is safe. I think it is safe. It is 95%+ effective. At the same time, you know, it is an experimental use authorization vaccine. It's not even officially FDA approved. I don't think anyone should be who's fearful of it or feels they're in a low enough risk group. For instance, children have essentially zero risk of death or serious complications of COVID-19. I don't think anyone should be compelled to get it as a condition of employment or school or really any other access to public accommodations in our society. So I really oppose COVID vaccine passports, for instance.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's move on to something that's maybe not COVID related.
Right.
Talk about elections. You've been pretty active
Absolutely.
In this. Right now, I think most folks in Missouri go and vote.
Yeah.
And if you ain't in St. Louis, you probably figure that your vote is fair.
Right.
What are some things that a vulnerability you see in Missouri's chain of voting? Because I don't think most folks in Missouri see a problem in our elections.
Right.
But what are the things you're seeing that maybe you think they ought to tidy up a little bit or tighten up maybe?
Well, you know, one of the number one issues I hear about from my constituents right now and calls I get to my office are this issue of election integrity. Close to 80% of Republicans think the presidential election was stolen. I don't know that that's the case. That's a quantitative question. Yeah. How much voter fraud there was in the right places and so on. But we do, you know, have at least two elections in the state of Missouri, state rep elections, Democrat primaries in the last decade that were just documented to be stolen elections. A lot of times that has to do with absentee voting and voter rolls not being cleaned up. The gold standard, Scott, for election integrity is in-person voting on election day with voter ID. So I really do think we do
it
once
seems
and
like
for
anymore,
all.
You can clean them voter rolls up with just computer technology. You can order something on Amazon and get it the next day. You think you could clean up a voter roll?
You can, but it's not happening. Allison and I have lived in our house in St. Mm-hmm. Charles County now for 19 years. We got those cards, those white and pink cards. Mm-hmm. We got those cards from the previous owner for a full decade after they had moved and we moved in. Yeah, they're by and large, they're not being cleaned up. And as you know, over 70% of voters voted for voter ID in 2016, but the Missouri Supreme Court has found, you know, loopholes, things they didn't like about the voter ID law that we need to fix.
Folks may not be able to use a doctor. You're an attorney too. Can you write a bill that this Supreme Court will allow voter ID under?
Yeah, I think we can. I think the 20.
It seems a little tricky. They kicked us out a few times.
Well, the January 2020 decision was pretty clear that they found this, the so-called statement or affidavit, confusing and contradictory. In other words, their holding was you're telling people that they need a voter photo ID to vote. But they really don't. They really can just sign a piece of paper, an affidavit, and then they can vote anyway. That was a compromise made in the Missouri Senate. I was there with the Democrats who ended their filibuster in return for that, you know, that statement compromise
language.
I'm old
enough to remember one of the first times you passed this. It was then Republican Chris Koster in the dais in the
right.
Senate when this was passed.
It was. I do remember that. Yeah, no, this was Senator Will Krause's bill in 2016. And a lot of us never liked that statement idea in the first place. And sure enough, the Supreme Court didn't either. So voter ID has, along with free IDs for those who don't have one, which is very few people in today's society,
has passed free IDs, right?
It always has. You can get a free photo ID in Missouri now, even though the photo ID law has been, you know, blocked by the Supreme Court. No, I think in the January 2020 case, the Missouri Supreme Court gave us a very clear indication of what we need to do to fix the voter ID law. It's really just a matter of bracketing out, removing that statement part of the bill, perhaps with provisional voting, you know, so where the signatures get checked after the fact so that we aren't discarding any valid votes.
I'd have a hard time buying that most Missourians don't have an ID in their wallet.
Almost
their purse, and don't think that if you have to show up for so many things in life, you don't have to show up to vote.
You need it. You needed to cash a check. You needed to get a credit card. You needed to get a cell phone. You needed to register your motor vehicle. On and on and on. Almost everything in society requires a photo ID.
Well, Senator, I hope you'll come back when it's over.
Thank
and talk
you.
About all the fur flies.
Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back on our Opinion Maker panel. Chad Perkins making his debut. We're coming down the Avenue of the Saints to join us this morning. But first, go to showmissouri.com. I drove down the Avenue of the Saints when I was coming back from Macon County. Terrific county, one of the most historic counties. All kinds of history packed in. Plus, it's where they produced Aaron Baker, and they produced a couple characters from the Munsters. Macon County, showmissouri.com. History Missouri, one county at a time. And we'll be right back after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work.
Welcome back to This Week in Missouri Politics. We have the newest alderman in the city of St. Louis, Ann Schweitzer, for the show. Welcome back. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Excited to get started?
Very excited. It pretty much already started, but we're sworn in Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday. 48 hours away. Former, you know a little about the Board of Aldermen yourself. Now State Representative Donna Berenger. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And the mayor, former mayor of Bowling Green, up the Avenue of the Saints, Chad Perkins, now State Rep. Welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Scott.
And Jamie Murphy, South County Republican. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Folks can join both you and I a week from tonight at the Tesson Ferry Republican of the Year Banquet at the Genesis Hall at 6 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir.
In beautiful South County, correct?
Absolutely, on Telegraph.
All right, now we'll talk about something heavy. Let's talk about something tougher. Let's talk about Medicaid. Big topic this week. A lot of big topics. We'll start with that. The House did not fund Medicaid expansion. Voters voted for it. House didn't fund it. What's going to happen in the Senate?
Look, I think in the Senate, you're going to end up with a vote one way or the other on whether we fund it or not, whether it comes out in a committee substitute or it's an amendment on the floor. But the voters may have voted for Medicaid expansion, but they didn't put in a funding mechanism. So that really does leave the question up to the General Assembly is if we want to go down this hole or not.
Representative Berenger, my assumption is you don't quite agree with that take.
I don't. In fact, it shouldn't even be called Medicaid expansion anymore. And that's because it was put on the ballot. The voters overwhelmingly voted for it. So it is in our Constitution. So it's just basically another line item that's called Medicaid.
So are you a constitutional Democrat now?
I believe that the Medicaid should be funded. And it is also a good return on investment because everyone keeps saying it's going to cost us more money. Well, right now, it's costing people like myself more money because if you go to the hospital, you're going to be taken care of. Uh-huh. But those of us who have health insurance, we go to the hospital and our payments keep going up because they have hospitals have to cover their costs.
Sure.
So this isn't just about, you know, people who don't have money. This is also about the middle class who does have insurance, and we're going to have to stop putting this burden on the middle class.
Let's talk about politics. You not only know how to get other people elected, you know how to get yourself elected. The rare person that can do both. When they did put this on the ballot, there was a court case where this was challenged. Mm-hmm. The proponent said, we do not have a funding mechanism. That's why they made the argument this is legal to put on the ballot this way, because we're not stipulating any money should go to it.
You know, if you can't count on Republicans to listen to the Constitution, then I just don't know what we're doing
Are
over there.
Are you a constitutional alderman now?
You know, I like the Constitution. I think it's a good document. We should look at it. And, you know, when you can't count on a Republican to follow the Constitution, I don't know what we're doing anymore. However, the 53% of the voters in Missouri voted for mm-hmm. Medicaid expansion, now Medicaid, as Representative Berenger put it. Governor Parson won Missouri by 17 points. This isn't something that was voted on only by Democrats.
Governor Parson is more popular than Medicaid.
Well, what I'm saying is a Republican governor can win by 17 points, you know, so when there's a 17 point difference and something wins, I think we can see that this is something that is voted for by Republicans. This is something that Republicans want. And he put it in the budget.
Yeah, he put it in the budget.
Sure. I mean, we can,
Parsons always
it's in the budget.
People,
the funding mechanism is in there. And when legislators think that they don't have a responsibility to figure out how something gets funded, then why are you there? Your job is to make decisions, to get things funded, to listen to the will of the people. And in this case, you know, it's already in the budget. It's ready to go. Let's go.
Representative Chadberg, the House did not do this as some sort of statement, or I mean, there was a reason for it.
Exactly
right. You said that room. What was it?
I'd like to make two quick points.
Yeah.
That voter ID passed by a much larger percentage than Medicaid expansion, and I suggest that these two ladies would probably then overwhelmingly support that, since it's also the law in the state of Missouri.
But break it down.
But with that being said, what else is the law in the state of Missouri? Is the Hancock Amendment, which says, and it has been for years, which says if there's not a funding mechanism, the state's not required to fund it. And I would suggest to you that if we had included on the ballot language that you would cut education or you would cut transportation funding or you would raise taxes, it probably wouldn't have passed if we were open and honest with people when we'd put it on the ballot in the first place.
So you put it back on the ballot?
If you put it on the ballot, you include your funding mechanism, then we are then obligated to do so.
Take Cleveland, Missouri, right? The voters voted for that. Maybe that was, you know, whatever. Maybe it was about redistricting, maybe it was about ethics or whatever. Put it back on the ballot and lost. Is the move now to put it back on the ballot with where the money would come from?
Well, let's talk about initiative petition if we're going to do that.
There you go. Well, you can do one yourself, though, the House.
The House could do one. I suspect we probably will not.
Yeah. Give me a prediction. End of the day, is the House going to down the hill of no expansion of Medicaid?
Absolutely. End of the day,
to a special session, we're not doing it.
You can give me five special sessions. We're not going to do it this year.
And Swaz, I love having you on your show because you advocate a liberal position, but you do it very well. Bob Onder was on the show, and I asked him, I said, well, where is the income level that you are to have free government health care? Mm-hmm. And he said, right now, it would go to almost $40,000 a year. About, now, in St. Louis, that you can live on that. I ain't trying to down talk for it. That's a good wage. Mm-hmm. Rural Missouri, that's a pretty good wage. A lot of folks have quit their job in Dexter today to get a $40,000 a year job. Most folks, probably. Where is that income level at, you think, where Medicaid ought to just give free from the government?
You know, where it's not is $3,000 a year for a parent and a child, and that's what it's at now. And that is not acceptable. And that's, you know, that's not where it's at.
Prediction. Is he right? Is the House just going to say, we won't have a budget, we won't pass that line, that budget bill, if it's got Medicaid no matter what? Is that, you think that's where they are?
I have a feeling that's where they are, but it's not where they should be.
Is that where they are?
I think that's where they are, and I don't think it passes the Senate either.
Yeah, I think the Senate isn't there, but they're like not going to overcome that hill to die on. Talk about U.S. Let's talk about Senate. Talk about U.S. Senate race. You've got Eric Greitens. Well, you got Eric Schmidt. Looks like you have Vicky Hartzler. Might have John Bruner and Wagner. Jason Smith's going to Mar-a-Lago. Break it down for me. Who is going to be the? So you have kind of the whack job. Maybe even the guy with the gun from St. Louis with the pink shirt on one side. Who's going to come out the other side, or are they all just going to run?
Look, I think they're going to have to figure out who wants to run. I think the party is going to have to consolidate around a single candidate. That being said, I don't think the party is fearing Greitens right now. You know, he raised, a whopping $9,000 for his U.S. Senate run.
You almost put a down payment on a used Toyota, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think all of the Republican candidates would rather put the skeletons in their closet up against the women in Greitens' basement.
Who do you not want to see?
Oh, God.
You don't see the women in Greitens' basement, I guess.
Like, can we just pause for a second and think about that's one of our choices in Missouri? And it's realistic. The fact
Very
that
realistic.
You can say a sentence about that, I mean, that's a huge problem in our state. What I would hope is that, you know, we can get to a point where a populist candidate, whether that person's a Republican, whether that person's a Democrat, can win in Missouri and we don't have women tied up in a basement.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judge Hall is very populist. Now, seriously, I want to ask you a question. So I think it's completely something he's thinking about, Jay Nixon. Jay Nixon, my assumption is, can come to rural Missouri and cut into those. He always has. He, say what you will about Jay Nixon, no Missourian, Thomas Hart Benton, Roy Blunt, Kit Bond, all the greats, Symington, Danforth, no one's ever got as many votes as Jay Nixon. Ann Schweitzer, will people in your ward, at meetings you go to, agree that Jay Nixon's their candidate because he can win? Is that sellable, not to you, but to folks in the progressive
sure.
movement in the city of St. Louis?
Yeah, you know, my ward is interesting because we're one of the very few wards in the city of St. Louis that voted for Bernie in the presidential primary. Yeah. So I think people look at the 13th ward as one of the more conservative wards, but I also think that's sort of an outdated notion.
Well, they pick the winner over maybe somebody that might say more things they like,
right.
but isn't probably electable.
You know,
even
I think
Greitens.
Democrats that are going to show up to the polls are going to vote for the Democrat. It's getting other people who
Donna
are less
Behringer,
likely to vote.
Will Democrats take Jay Nixon, even the ones that are very progressive?
This is a perfect example of why the Democrats need to pay attention, as in who they do choose, is that the incumbents are the ones that lost in the city. So what I'm saying by that is that I don't know that you necessarily want to bring someone back who was already involved, but rather find someone who hasn't been, but is more of a moderate, whether it be on either side. But I don't think bringing someone back is going to work.
Chair Berger, there's one Democrat I know of that knows Bowling Green very well. He also knows Charleston very well. He also knows Nixa. He knows Joplin every dadgum block. Jay Nixon could win a race. Maybe not against an Eric Schmidt, but against an Eric Greitens. Jay Nixon could win a race.
I think the thing to keep in mind is that Eric Greitens probably has a diehard 25% of Republican voters.
They don't care how many people in that basement. They'll tell you they're all virtuous and they'll lie through their teeth. They don't care.
I think that if you get six or seven Republicans hop in, it's anybody's game. If it's Eric Schmidt versus Eric Greitens, I think Eric Schmidt can win that.
And Eric should be U.S. Senator.
And I think that Jay Nixon is probably the most moderate Democrat potential candidate. I don't know. I think he could possibly win a general election. I don't know that he can win a primary.
That's what I was asking. I think he can, but it'll be helped spend a little bit of money. And if the few Democrats that say that are fractured, that'll be interesting.
He's got great name recognition. He's got good credentials. I think he's too moderate for the current Democrat Party.
Quick predictions here. Are voters going to get their biodiesel and a gas tax increase for roads this session?
No.
What do you think?
No.
I'm going to work hard for it. We got to raise our gas tax, guys.
And it's bizarre. I mean, it's a bit like... be like Vegas outlawing DICE. Missouri not trying to promote biodiesel. It's one of those things where you want to be so conservative, you become stupid.
The gas tax bill that we have, it's actually a reimbursement. So at the end of the year, if you want to turn in all your mileage and you want to get reimbursed, you can.
The cleverness of that is funny, and I think it's great, but sure. I'm not organized enough to do that. But
I split on that one. Obviously, I like the biodiesel bill.
Well, your constituents, right?
Says my constituents.
You're the rare Republican that cares about his constituents.
I live in Northeast Missouri. I like the biodiesel bill.
Many folks do and don't care about it.
I cannot vote for a tax increase.
What do you think? I get the sense that these two issues are percolating, but they're not ready yet.
I agree.
But maybe coming, right?
Maybe not this year. Not this year.
Maybe not. Voter ID bill, you can do a voter ID bill. Or is that next year?
Look, you know, when I kind of hear the rumblings of what the priorities are right now, while that is a priority, it's just not one of the ones that I see on the short
list
this year.
Feels like a priority, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Priority for?
Hard to argue against. Democrats have a hard time arguing against that, right?
Against the priority?
Voter ID.
Oh, well, yeah, because I will tell you, no, the Missouri Constitution says that the only person who can require a photo ID of a voter is the Secretary of State. And so the reason that this ends up in court every time and they'll lose is because the Department of Revenue, under the Constitution, does not allow them to be the agency that gives that requirement.
Constitutional Democrat Donna Behringer, who won the week?
We had a fantastic softball tournament on Wednesday night in Jefferson City, and everyone, senators, you know, House members, employees, Republicans, Democrats, it was a really good time.
Who won the week?
Tashara Jones, fulfilling an agenda in St. Louis that's been 5 years in coming.
You won the week, too. Who won the week?
In the House, you had a great bill from Jay Mosley about the right to privacy. You had a great bill from Adam Schwadron about porch piracy. It was a very bipartisan week. Bipartisanship won the week.
Won the week?
The General Assembly, they raised over $11,000 for charity.
I am going to say the pro-life march. You know, there's a lot of marches in Jefferson City, a lot of attention. Sometimes this one doesn't. Maybe some folks in the media don't agree with it. Those folks really organize. And just like anybody that comes to protest or to march, when you get that many people that care about something, folks should listen. I think they won the week. Hope you'll win the week next week, probably from our new studios. I might even give Jack Sundrup a tour of them next week on This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.